Welcome to the EFM Morning Brief. It's a great quick way, 10 minutes or less, for you to get up to speed of the latest news and find out what's on today at the market. My name is Wendy Mitchell. I'm a film journalist and consultant, and I'm thrilled to be hosting this series. Today, we're joined by a very special guest, who is Scott Roxborough, European Bureau Chief for The Hollywood Reporter. And Scott has been covering Berlin and EFM for a long time. Scott, I'm really curious, you know, what's your first impressions already of the Berlinale 2022 and the market so far?
Yeah, no, I mean, good to talk to you, Wendy. We haven't seen each other in a while in person, so it's nice to do this, virtually at least. It's a weird one this year because Berlin is happening, which is great, and I'm in the city again after having doing the virtual version last year, but it's still an odd sort of mix because. There are far fewer people around, obviously far fewer people being able to go to the cinema. For the industry side, there's almost nobody here, really, compared to sort of the usual crush of buyers and sellers running around the city at this time during a regular Berlin market. So it is a bit of an odd feeling being here, but is good to be back. And on the business side, at least, this sort of whole hybrid version or the online European film market hasn't seemed to hurt business because talking to buyers, I was just at the Soho House and was, met a bunch of international distributors passing through. Everyone seems to be really, really active. Everyone seems to be really getting back, hoping that the coronavirus pandemic will soon be over in the next couple of months, hopefully, or at least to the point where cinemas will be fully open again, more or less around the world. And everyone's betting that that's going to happen and are sort of now stocking up on films for the coming months.
That's really great to hear. Yeah, it does feel like this light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter and we're almost there. Even as you mentioned, some buyers and sellers are here and it's great to bump into a few of them. A lot of people are just watching films online, but do you think we'll still see deals being done even though a lot of people are doing it online?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, this isn't the first virtual market. Of course, we've had almost 2 years of virtual markets or hybrid markets, and they haven't really slowed down the business. I mean, 2 years ago now, the first virtual Cannes market was really, really active, and I think it's going to be the same here. From what I've heard, I mean, the market sort of unofficially has been going on since last Monday, so there's been a lot of business already done. I mean, you probably heard about the massive deal that Sony did for A Man Called Otto, a Tom Hanks package adaptation of a hit Swedish film from a number of years back that sold for $60 million worldwide to Sony, which is, I guess, probably the biggest single deal ever come out of Berlin. I think there are going to be other sort of big deals probably with streamers and studios to still come out of Berlin. And when I talk to independent buyers, wherever they are, Japan or the US or Germany, they're also really actively bidding on stuff. It's interesting, I think, because on the sort of traditional theatrical side, things really haven't come back. And the independent buyers and distributors are still really, really hurting because they can't get their films into theaters or they haven't seen audiences return to the same levels as they were pre-pandemic. But everyone is still, thinking they have to get in there and they have to get some good films so that when everyone's hoping cinemas return and the theater going audience returns after the pandemic, they'll be right there and being able to grab them with their new movies. So that's why I think you're seeing actually a really amazing amount of business being done given sort of the general state of the industry at the moment.
That's great. And yeah, I know the day I saw that Sony deal announced, it sort of puts a spring in everybody's step. Even if you have nothing to do with that film or that deal, 60 million, yes, movie going. And I'm just curious, with The Hollywood Reporter, you really, as I said, are European bureau chief, the whole European scene and beyond. And it feels like Berlin, for the European industry, of course, the American industry gets started at Sundance every year. Especially for the Europeans, though, it feels like Berlin might sort of set the tone for the rest of the year and topics we're talking about, in maybe certain films. So I guess I'm wondering, what are you writing about at Hollywood Reporter this week? Are there sort of themes or trends or talking points?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Berlin, particularly this year, and if you just talk about the lineup, I'm not sure if it's going to be the official sort of festival lineup. I'm not sure that's going to be so trend-setting because it's very impacted by the fact that it is still in the middle of the pandemic and films that were able to be finished and made and delivered here maybe won't be representative of the films in even the next few months or in the next year and a half. A lot of the films that we've seen, even very good ones, like the opening night film, Peter von Kant from François Ozon, which I loved, but it's a very small, contained film because of how it had to be shot, you know, under COVID conditions and so forth. And there have been quite a few of those in the lineup this year in Berlin. And I don't think that's going to be sort of a trend or a setting. I think that's going to be something that'll just pass. And, you know, it'll be something we'll look back and say, oh, yes, that was the period when we had COVID because those were kind of films that were coming out. But in terms of general industry trends, I think a lot is being, you're seeing a lot here in Berlin that will be sort of setting the tone. The main thing I'm seeing that I'm really interested in, I've been writing a bit about, is consolidation on the independent side. Because you saw like beginning of the week, Komplizenfilm, big German independent production company. They made Tony Erdmann, their producer on Spencer, the Oscar-nominated Spencer. And they joined up this group called The Creatives, which is a group of independent production companies all through Europe, various ones in France and the UK and all over, to jointly sort of develop and produce high-end television series for Fremantle, you know, worldwide, gigantic, independent, but gigantic production company. And that type of move where the small sort of boutique production companies, which are really the driving force of the art house industry worldwide, they're seeing that they can't really survive on their own anymore because the sort of strength of the streamers in particular, but also the studios, has meant that either you're going to get swallowed by a bigger company or become get hired on by Netflix to just produce stuff for them, or you're going to try and stay independent. And if you want to stay independent, you have to find other partners. And you're seeing a lot of these sort of formal deals to try to link up independents, either that or independents are merging together. You're seeing a lot of that type of activity happening. Mediavan, a big French independent production group, recently linked up with Leonine, which is a massive German independent group. And it's almost that even these local giants aren't big enough. They have to become sort of somehow pan-national or global to reach a level where they can, where they have enough independence to be able to produce really, really big end television series or films, even if they're going to end up selling them on to a streamer, to a Netflix or an Amazon, in order to stay independent in any way, shape, or form, they have to reach a certain size. I think that sort of consolidation, that sort of growth is really a major driving factor at the moment in the independent industry.
Wow, Scott, I knew you were going to have your finger on the pulse of what's really going on out there. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to keep reading THR all week because I'm sure, maybe not any more $60 million deals, but I'm sure there's going to be deals and trends. And good luck for the rest of the EFM. And thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you, Wendy.
So if you haven't noticed, it's the weekend. It's Saturday. It's a great time to build some connections, I think. So I know a lot of people are already signed up for one-on-one or roundtable meetings with all these experts at the EFM. Hope those go very well for you and you make some new contacts. Do that networking. Today, also the co-production market kicks off. It is amazing. Over the next 5 days, EFM will host 1,400 pre-scheduled meetings. I am so glad I'm not the one scheduling all of them, but what an amazing event, connecting people around the globe. So the co-pro market starts at 9:30 with a welcome, and then that follows on to a case study of a former co-production market project, which is now in Berlin competition, Alcaraz by Carla Simon. It's a Spanish-Italian co-production. Should be really fascinating to find out how they work together. And then at 4 o'clock, the co-production market will present several funders from different countries talking about their schemes that help foster co-productions. That sounds like a great place to learn how to finance a new film. So after all that, you can also join in some speed matchings, and that is live in Zoom from 5:30 to 6:30. So please get on in there to the co-production market. A lot of that is obviously open. If you have an online market badge, get in there. You can access the talks and the speed matchings via that EFM event page. And just to mention, it's the weekend. Maybe you've got some time to catch up on something you missed when it was very hectic, the start of EFM a few days ago. We had a really great session at the opening about change and transformation. And I think that would be a really great one to catch up on. You can go find it in the schedule and watch it on the player. It's called EFM Opening, Embracing Change for the Industry of the Future. And I think that's a good inspiring watch for a Saturday if you had missed it earlier. Have a great day. I hope you make some new connections. And thanks again for joining us at EFM Morning Brief. And we'll be back tomorrow morning.